Yeah, we're hearing more about symbols. I was just listening to a lecture about the pyramids, and it's interesting how this guy says the pyramids were specifically constructed to bring down spiritual energies. But I heard something different about it I never heard of before, and he said that with the Great Pyramid, the lines don't go in a straight line up. He says they're slightly bent, slightly concave. So the pyramid goes, instead of going straight up as a smooth surface, it's indented slightly in a slight arc as it goes up. And he says without this slight arc, the pyramid doesn't produce power. But he says with this slight arc in the pyramid, it produces tremendous spiritual power. I've never heard that before. I thought that was kind of fascinating. And he says without that, you know, it's just normal pyramid pretty much. But every one of the shapes that we have about us, they all mean something. For instance, what does a square mean? What's the meaning behind a square? Anybody got any ideas? Well, we find meaning, hints of meaning in our vernacular, like people talk about getting a square deal. What does that mean if you get a square deal?
Or a square meal?
Yeah, a square meal. It means solid, right?
We call them.
And remember, it's prophesied in the Bible that the New Jerusalem will be built four square. A city that lieth four square, meaning there's four squares to it. And the ancients, they talked even about the four corners of the earth, that the earth itself had was laid out four square. So the square symbolizes like a solid foundation. When we have a square, we have a foundation laid, and most of our houses are laid out either squared or rectangular, which is an elongated square. So a square represents something that's solid on which something can be built. But all of our symbols represent something, and the interesting thing about symbols is that they communicate not only to people on this sphere, but on the hidden spheres. And one of the symbols of the square is to raise your right arm to the square. And this has been done from ancient times as in the giving of an oath. Even as you swear before a judge, you swear to tell the whole truth, nothing but the truth, and you hold up your right arm. And many different societies, when they swear them in, they have them swear with the right arm to the square, meaning it's straight and true. But live long and prosper, the way you're thinking?
Yeah. The Masonic symbol, the square.
Yeah. Do you know how they interpret it?
I think in their ritual they talk about like balancing 8 hours for man and service and yourself and whatever.
Yeah, and then the Mormons also use a compass as another symbol. A compass guides you toward the right direction in life, different things like this. So if you want to put together something that creates magic, it's best to do it in symbols. And it's interesting, when they sent the spacecraft Voyager on its space flight to take pictures of all the planets, and then when it passed Neptune, it just went out into space. And they figured sometime, maybe a million years in the future, some civilization will find it. And so they thought, well, how can we communicate with somebody that can't understand our language? And so they use symbols and they use math as much as they could to tell whoever would find the Voyager what we were like. And so it's interesting that when it come down to trying to communicate with people that didn't read our language, they concentrated on symbols, images, and this type of thing.
And hopefully we didn't give them a map to lunch.
Yeah, hopefully it doesn't turn out as it did in Star Trek. Star Trek, where they was captured by an alien civilization and they reprogrammed it and sent it back to destroy us. Remember that on Star Trek 2, I think it was. And they Part of his name was erased. It was Voyager, and it, and all that was you could read was Vidger.
Yes. So,
remember that? They couldn't figure out what Vidger was. What is Vidger? You know, and it was originally Voyager, and so this ancient, this faraway aliens grabbed it, reprogrammed it, sent it back, and it was damaged on the way back or something. So Kirk and his bunch had to rescue the planet Earth from
Vidger.
Vidger. It was interesting. Okay, so there's all kinds of different things that we can do to bring magic into our lives, and we can use certain magical principles. Now, what everybody wants to do is they want to fulfill their desires. So the first thing you want to make sure is that your desires are pure and not going to harm anyone else. And if your desire is fulfilled, it will help you and also help other people. If you clear that out of the way, then you have opportunity to fulfill the magical powers on a higher level rather than a lower level. Yeah, Brian.
I need a diva generator.
What's that?
I said I need a diva generator.
Okay, how'd you do that?
Posted it on the keys about a year or two ago.
Really? Okay, well, we'll have to check that out.
I showed all the symbols. I showed all the parts and pieces.
Oh, really?
Three tiers.
Oh, okay.
LED lights. The whole thing. All from Melton stuff.
Oh, really?
The stuff I have, I'm compelled to
collect. Oh, really? Okay, well, if Nova helps you do it, it's probably got something to it then.
He acknowledges.
I've tried all kinds of stuff. It's interesting.
Yeah. Okay, the first thing to do is figure out what you want to accomplish. But in accomplishing something, what's the first step? Step number one.
Have a point to have a vision.
To do what? A vision?
Yeah. Have a desire.
Right. Have a desire and first of all, figure out what you want, right? Mm-hmm. If you don't know what you want, you can't make anything happen. So if you just think, well, I just want good things, that's not enough. You need to figure out something specific that you want to accomplish. Okay, what's the next step?
Everything
we can
together.
Take action
and find a purpose.
There's an intention.
Okay. That's true. So there's one really important thing in between, and that is desire. You know, if you think, well, it'd be nice to get $1 million, but then you don't think about it for a month, do you really want that $1 million that much? Or do you really want that new car, or do you really want the wisdom of Solomon, or whatever it is you want, or peace on earth, or whatever. But if you just think about it casually, that's not expressing much desire. Okay, the first thing is decide what you want, and then take that desire and apply it. Fill yourself with a burning desire for that thing. Okay, what's the third thing?
Make the plan.
Right. Make the plan. Then figure out, well, okay, I figured out what I want. Now I've got this desire to have it. Now I've got to have a plan. Okay, so you create the plan. And then what's the next step after that? Right. Then the next step is the action step. The action step. Now there's certain things we can do before that. To solidify the desire and the plan so it's focused in our mind. Because the difference between people who succeed and people who don't succeed is focus. And this is what I found out. When I was young, I read all these books on how to succeed by Dale Carnegie, Elmer Wheeler, and Norman Vincent Peale, and all these guys. I read everything I could find. And still I didn't get the success I wanted. And then I went out and I did sales in about 20 different states of small businesses, calling thousands of them. And as I called on these thousands of businesses, I began studying them. And what makes the difference between a guy who's successful and people who aren't? And I found a lot of really successful people were not that bright. And I found a lot of people that were not very successful to be amazingly smart. And I thought, it doesn't seem to be intelligence. Because a lot of people I met that were very successful, you know, I looked at them and I thought, boy, this guy is just not bright at all. How in the world did he succeed? And I finally figured out the key, and it wasn't mentioned hardly in any of the books that I read. And it is focus. In other words, focused intent. And you can meet some really dumb farmer that he wants to sell farm implements or whatever, and it's like the Tom Hanks character, what's his name?
Forrest Gump.
Yeah, Forrest Gump. Remember? He was focused. He was not very bright, but everything he did he was successful at because of one reason, and it was focus. And I found this out in meeting these thousands of different business owners. The successful ones often were less bright than the unsuccessful ones, because the smarter people, they have a big handicap. You know what that is? They have lots of ideas. Tremendous number of ideas floating through their minds, and they just start working on one thing, and I have had this problem myself in my life. You just start working on one thing, and then you think, oh, I got a better idea. So you switch, work on that. Whereas the dumb guy has only got, like, Forrest Gump guy. He's got, we want to build this fishing boat, this shrimp boat or whatever. And he's just got this one idea. And because he's too dumb to think of a second idea, so he just got one idea. He focuses on the one idea, and he actually makes it happen because he's focused and he doesn't take his focus off because he's too dumb to think of other ideas. Whereas the smart guy, he's just got all these ideas and he's got one halfway done, and then he thinks, oh man, now what I'm working on will make me a thousandaire, but this new idea made me a millionaire. And then he starts working on that, and then he thinks, this will make me a millionaire, but I just got a new idea, this is going to make me a billionaire. And so he switches on that, and he never accomplishes anything. And Tibetan talks about this type of person. He calls him a dreamer, which winds up being of no use to God or men. I like that wording.